Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Paul put it like this. He said, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." He foreknew, he predestined. "And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified."
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his series, The Story of God. Join us as Pastor Brian resumes his teaching on Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32, in a message titled, "The Story of Salvation, Justified, Sanctified, Glorified." Now, here's Pastor Brian.
The first step in sanctification is knowing something. We have to know something. And what is it that we have to know? We have to know that our old self was crucified with Christ. I have to know that. Because remember, the old self still exists, and the old self is always going to be looking for opportunity to dominate the new self. So we have to know the old self has been crucified. And then he goes on and he says this. He says, "In the same way," the key word, "count yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." So we are to know something, and then we are to count it. This word here is, it's really like an accounting term. It means to reckon, you know, like you would reckon the books. It really means to consider it to be so. So I'm to know this, what? I'm crucified with Christ. And then I am to consider that to be my new reality. So when the old self rises up and wants to control the way I live, I say, "Oh no, no, I'm crucified with Christ. No, I died to that." And I consider that to be my new reality. That's my new reality. And then he says, "Do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master." Our previous life was a life mastered by sin. Now, for some people, that sin so radically mastered them that they were in such bondage to it that it brought evident destruction to their lives. For other people, that hasn't happened in that way, but the mastery of sin still exists. So I say that because, you know, some people, they look at the outward situation with a person, and there are some people that they look at and they go, "Oh, yeah, of course that person's a sinner." But then they look at somebody else and they go, "Well, it doesn't seem to me like they're really a sinner." The reality is, apart from Christ, our old selves, who we are by nature, we are mastered by sin. For some, it takes a larger toll in this life than for others. But nevertheless, it's the reality. So what are we to do? We're to know we're crucified with Christ so that the body of sin can be put out of commission. And we are to count that to be our new reality. And then we are to offer ourselves, not to any kind of wickedness, but we are to offer ourselves to God. Offer every part of ourselves to God. "For sin shall no longer master you." And then he says this, "For you are not under the law, but under grace." What does he mean by that? What he's telling us is that to be under the law in this context means that you have no power over sin. Sin has power over you. Maybe some of you had this experience in your life. Maybe you had a time, maybe it was on your journey. Now you realize it was on your journey to Jesus. And And you began to realize that certain things about your life were just wrong. You know, these habits, these behaviors, these attitudes, you know, this is bad, this isn't good. And maybe you thought to yourself, you know, I need to change that. I need to stop doing this or that or the other thing. I need to behave differently. So you set out to do that. But you found it was much easier said than done. And you found that the good that you wanted to do, you didn't do. And the evil that you didn't want to do, you ended up doing. Why is that? It's because we're dominated by sin and we don't have the power to overcome sin. Now, we can improve our lives a little bit here and there. Of course we can. But in the end, being under the law means being in a position that sin has power over us because I can't keep the rules well enough to break the power of sin. But here's the good news. You're not under the law. You're under grace. And what Paul means by grace here, sometimes grace, it always means the same, but the application is a little different. And I think here what Paul is saying, when he talks about grace, he's talking about the fact that you're under a supernatural power. See, this is the beauty of what's happened to us in becoming Christians. We have come under now the power of the Spirit. We are indwelt by the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit empowers us to live in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live in the Spirit. Before I was a Christian, I went through a season of reevaluating my life, my behavior. I had a lot of people telling me what an idiot I was and what a, you know, that sort of thing. And you know, most of the time you just blow that off. It's like, what do they know? But, you know, there came a point in my life where I started to kind of agree with them. Yeah, I'm really not one of the nicest guys in the world. And so I thought, you know, I need to clean up my act here. I need to be a better person. I need to be nicer, and I need to be, you know, kind to people and all of that. You know, I recognize that. And so I set out to do it. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to treat people with more respect, with more kindness, with all this stuff. And you know, I think I made a few adjustments. I think my girlfriend said, oh, you seem a little bit nicer. But you know what? It didn't really last that long. And the stuff that I felt like I'd made some improvement on, that was fine. But then I saw, well, there's a bunch of other areas that I haven't even touched yet. So, you know, bottom line is, I was trying, but I wasn't getting too far. And then something happened to me. I became a Christian. I was born again. And when I was born again, the Holy Spirit took up residence in me. And then all of a sudden, I discovered that the things that I was trying so hard not to do, I was just naturally not even doing them without even trying. And I realized, wow, something has happened inside of me. That's what we're talking about. The Holy Spirit has come into us. And Paul says in Galatians 5:16, he says, walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. This is how sanctification happens. We walk in the Spirit. And Paul uses this term walk. It means this is how you're to live your life. You're to live your life in the Spirit. And as you live your life in the Spirit, this is the promise, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. But here's the deal. It takes effort to walk in the Spirit. It takes discipline. There are spiritual disciplines. There are things that we must engage in. Spiritual disciplines lead to spiritual formation. And remember, we're being formed after Christ, after the image of Christ. So sanctification requires discipline, and this is the hard truth here. You will never no sanctification unless you put forth the effort. We will not automatically, without any effort on our part, become sanctified. Now, I have heard so many people say things like this. There's an area in their life, it's sinful. It's not the way that Christians are to live. And the Bible makes that clear. And yet they're still living that way. And the issue is brought up. They're challenged on it. And I've heard many people say, well, you know, the Lord just hasn't delivered me from that yet. And sort of like, well, you know, if God wants me to be freed from this, then he needs to do something. You know, God hasn't changed my desire yet, so I'm waiting for him to do it. That's not what sanctification is. Sanctification, remember, is a cooperative effort. And so God has told us what to do, and he expects us to do it not through our own strength, but through the power of the Spirit that he's given to us. So it's a cooperative effort. We have to cooperate with the Spirit. But he enables us to do what we would not be able to do ourselves. And so it's not a matter of I'm just sitting around waiting for God to do certain things. Of course, some things in life, that's the case. But when it comes to sin, if we are living in sin, and what I mean by living in sin is we are habitually living in a way that God says not to live. And we're just waiting for God to change us or, you know, pull us out of that or, you know, do some miraculous thing. It doesn't happen that way. I have to obey God. I have to take what he said in his word, and by the power of the Spirit, I have to embrace that truth, and it's through doing that that I move along in the sanctification process. Now, the scriptures play a huge role in our sanctification. This is why we do what we're doing. This is why we study the Bible. This is why we encourage you to read the Bible. This is why we, all of us, read it and meditate on it. Because the Word of God, which the scriptures tell us is living and powerful, the Word of God, it is that agent through which much of our sanctification is going to take place. In Jesus' great and wonderful prayer for his people, John chapter 17, often it's called the high priestly prayer of Jesus because of his intercession for us, his people. He says in his prayer, he says, Father, sanctify them, make them holy. Or as we're saying, you know, Father, make them more like me, is really what the essence of that prayer is. Sanctify them by your truth. And then Jesus says, your word is truth. So you see, this is why God has given us his word. This is why we emphasize that the word has to play a major part in our lives as the people of God. Walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, means being taken up with the things of the Spirit, and that's going to have its foundation in the scriptures. And so as we read and meditate and are taught the word of God, we are reminded over and over again of who Jesus is and what it is to follow him. And as we pray and fast, and as we are engaged with that godly community, the family of God, the people of God, as I'm engaged with the people of God, as we worship together, as we serve together, as we make Christ and his kingdom the center of our lives, sanctification, that process of sanctification, will move along in a beautiful way. And we will recognize progress in our own lives. We'll see that, you know, I'm not the person that I used to be. I'm not the person that I ultimately will be, but thank God I'm not the person I used to be. And that's a desire that the Lord has for each and every one of us. Now, there's a point where we have to press into this because our old nature is going to be there saying, oh, I don't want to do that. Let's do this instead. So then we have to say, oh, wait a second. That guy or that gal, they're dead. They were crucified with Christ. That's the reality. The new reality is that I'm alive. And no, I've got to take my members and I have to now offer them to the Lord. And so there has to be that effort that's put forth to do it. But there's many things that are opposing those efforts. And one of them is just simply all the distractions that we have around us today. As you guys know, I've been preaching for many, many years. And I think probably ever since I started 40-something years ago, I'm sure I would say, man, you know, we're living in a time of such distraction, and we have to really fight against distraction. And it was always true. But I think it's safe to say that there is more to distract us today than there has ever been, at least in our cultural context. I can reach in my back pocket and show you one thing that is highly responsible for distraction in our lives. It's called a phone. That is also a mini computer. That is also a movie screen. That is also something where which you can access games and things like that. And now it's right, it's attached to us. You know, if I leave my house without my phone, it's like, oh my gosh, what do I do? I just want to say, I think the sin stuff is pretty obvious, that's stuff that has to be dealt with. But I want to just take a second and just talk about these other things, because remember, our sanctification is going to progress as we immerse ourselves in the things of Christ and his kingdom. The things I mentioned, God's word and prayer and maybe fasting and fellowship and those kinds of things, service to the Lord. But I can so easily get distracted from that. And so I have to exercise discipline and say no to that thing. So my friend Ray Ortland, I saw this week on Instagram, he was kind of giving a little thing where he's signing off of Instagram for a season. And he said, you know, I want to take a deep, deep, deep dive into the book of Psalms. Now, Ray is a scholar, so he says, I'm going to take a deep dive into Psalms. I'm going to go back to the original language, so he's going to go back to the Hebrew. He's going to read through the Psalms over and over again in Hebrew. He wants to have, you know, a deeper understanding. And so he's saying, love my friends here on Instagram, but I'm signing off for a season. So I might come back, I might not. And I have to say, honestly, when I saw that, I thought, oh my, maybe I need to sign off a little bit myself. And you know, Instagram's not the only platform there is. There's a bunch of them. But for me personally, it's just like, okay, I'm looking at my own sanctification. I'm looking at my own process of becoming more like Jesus. And I have to ask myself the question, are all these distractions, are they really keeping me back in some way from all that the Lord has for me? And I have to say, yes, I think so. So I have to do something about that. I have to exercise discipline. I have to say, no, you know, I need to get away from this distraction. We all have to do this in various ways. And of course, like I said, it's kind of like a no-brainer when it comes to sin. If there's sin, going on Instagram isn't a sin. Could be, but it's not, you know, in and of itself, or going on social media. But there are other things that obviously are sins. And that's what sanctification is. It's moving us further and further away from continual, habitual sin in our lives, and it's making us more and more like Jesus. And so, as we submit ourselves and discipline ourselves, and the Lord expects progress in our lives. The author of Hebrews, he says to his audience at one point, he says, you know, by this time you should be teachers, but you actually need someone to come along and teach you the elementary principles of the doctrines of Christ. This is wrong. You know, sometimes people say to me, oh, man, you know, I'm a new Christian. And I'm like, well, how long have you known the Lord? 10 years. You're not a new Christian if you've known the Lord for 10 years. You should be a mature Christian if you've known the Lord 10 years. But so often it's, yeah, I've known the Lord 10 years, but I haven't been disciplined on the path of sanctification. So even though I've known the Lord 10 years, it's more like I've known the Lord for 1 year. And I'm not saying this to condemn anybody. I'm just saying, you know what? It's time to get on the path, the sanctification path, by disciplining ourselves, by getting serious about the things of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, which means living a life that is predominantly immersed in the Spirit. Now, sanctification, as I said, is a process, but the process is leading finally to glorification. So the end goal of our salvation is glorification. So glorification is being made like Jesus and being present with Jesus in the new creation forever and ever. So that's where we're headed. That's where it's all going. And some are going to get there through the portal of what we call death. Others are going to get there because the Lord's going to come and it's all going to come together at that point. But we're going to get there. We're going to arrive at glorification. Peter describes it like this. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 through 5, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy caused us to be born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead," and here's the description, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." That's glory. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, it never fades away, it's reserved in heaven. For us, for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, Peter's writing to people who are saved, but he's talking to them about a future salvation. And so this is what we've been talking about. There's different facets to salvation. So he's talking to people who have been justified. He's talking to people who are in the process of being sanctified, and he's telling them about the future glorification that is to come. And then he says this. He says, "Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So we're saved, we're being saved, and we're going to be saved. We're saved from the guilt of sin. We are being saved from the power of sin, and we will finally be saved. That's justification, sanctification, and glorification.
Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. With all the chaos, unrest, and uncertainty in our world, behind it all is an unseen realm where a spiritual battle is being waged. And this spiritual battle not only affects the world collectively, but even our lives individually. This month's book, The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian, will give you an understanding of the battle that is raging behind the scenes. You will understand the enemy who is waging war against you, his tactics, and how you can be equipped to emerge victorious. As people of God, we must be aware of the spiritual battle we're all involved in, the sophisticated ways in which we're constantly being attacked, and the provision for victory we have in Jesus. If you want to be equipped for the spiritual battle we're engaged in, or to be able to help others become equipped, we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-7000. 6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together the Story of God series. Back to Basics is the listener-supported preaching and teaching ministry of Pastor Brian Broderson.